worship here and serve here as well. So we're grateful for that. And several of you, I know, have been on a trip to Mexico, a short-term trip. Creating quite a ruckus already. And we're grateful for the opportunity that is to bring God's Word, hand-delivering God's Word and audio to families in Mexico. And for those of you who have been on those trips, you know how transformative that is, both for those who receive God's Word and audio, and a little solar-powered audio Bible, and for those who pray with the people, who visit with them and see those hearts turn to the Lord, many for the first time, many coming back after years away. So today, we're going to talk about a framework out of Colossians 1 that will kind of frame the message that we'll be looking at from God's Word for us. So normally, I would also pray at the beginning, but we have this beautiful context in Colossians 1 that I'm going to pray through. So if you're following along, turn with me to your Bibles, Colossians 1:9, and I'm just going to pray through this as we begin. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will through all wisdom and spiritual understanding today. We pray this that we may walk worthy of you, the Lord, fully pleasing you, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of you, O God. We pray that we'd be strengthened with all power, according to your glorious might, for all endurance and patience, and with joy that we would give thanks to you, the Father, who has enabled us to share in the saints' inheritance in the kingdom of light. Thank you for rescuing us from the dominion of darkness and bringing us into the kingdom of the Son you love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So today, we're going to start with a passage, Colossians 1:15. So let's continue on. We're going to do this the traditional way. If you have your Bible, I didn't put this on a slide, so turn with me to Colossians 1, verse 15. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He's also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might have come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus, and through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for this, your word. The image of the invisible God. Now, our society is fascinated today with things that are invisible, that are mysterious or kind of unreachable. We just had Halloween celebrations all across West Michigan where people are excited, even in a workplace context many times, of, you know, playing around with the kind of mysterious, the spiritual, the invisible. Try this one. So there's a famous 19th century street preacher who used this concept on the street to help share the gospel. And he started out like this, right when the theaters had just come out for the day and everyone was walking back. He put this big box in a prominent place up on a little step stool, and he started pacing around it,
just looking at it. And a crowd began to form, like, who is this guy? You know, he looks like one of those crazy, wacko religious types. And so he's pacing around, looking at this box, and he says, this box right here has something in it. Something that no one has ever seen before. The person who gave it to me has never seen it. He took care of it for me. This one, it's actually from North Carolina. He took care of it for me, sent it to me. I have never met him. He didn't look at it. No one looked at it on the way. And I have not looked at it yet either. No one has ever seen this before. And after today, no one will ever see it again. And the crowd with bated breath waits. But wait. And then he goes into sharing the gospel, talking about the invisible God who has revealed himself through creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And then he continues on to talk about the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus, how God fully revealed himself in Jesus, the invisible God made manifest in flesh. And then at the end of a sermon, now I will show you. And he takes out a peanut, unopened, never before seen by the eye of man. Carefully, he breaks it open in everyone's eyes. And then chews it up. No one will ever see that peanut again. We are intrigued with the invisible. Today, my message title is Sharing a Glimpse of the Invisible, namely the invisible God. Jesus, as we read in Colossians, was the image of the invisible God, fully man, and all of the fullness of God dwelling in him. What a mystery. So when we share Jesus, which we're called to do, do you realize you're sharing a glimpse of the invisible God? You're sharing a picture of the entirety of God's fullness, the almighty maker of heaven and earth, who designed everything from the nerve endings in your eye down to polar bears and the mysteries of life that we're still trying to understand. So how do we share this glimpse of the invisible? It's not always as easy as taking something out of a box. Well, how did Jesus do it? We want to follow him in all things. Well, he revealed himself and the invisible God with words, right? And he preached and taught, and also in deeds. Now, when he spoke, he would often use pictures, analogies, ways for us to get, kind of picture this big diamond of the eternality of God, hard to grasp. Light shines on it and it reflects in a new way. Well, Jesus, in the Gospel of John, gave us these pivotal pictures of who he is, who this eternal, invisible God is all about. So we're going to glance at those today. Each of these could be in-depth study, but we're just going to glance at this picture of who God is, the invisible God. The first picture we get in the Gospel of John is, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He provides our sustenance. He provides the very thing that we need to live another day, to do what we need to do. I had the honor of being on a trip to Mexico. We have a studio recording in Mexico. We've recorded God's Word and audio in over 85 different New Testaments, 85 different languages. And there are over 250 languages in Mexico. Would you believe it? Some Incan, Mayan, Chinantec, Zapotec, Mije, Nahuatl, lots of different languages. Some are tonal, some sound like they came from South Asia, actually. Just fascinating patchwork quilt of gloriously different culture, and yet each of those people groups need to be reached. They need to hear God's word in a way they can understand. So I got to go visit, and this particular trip, we met this lady, and she was a Zapotec lady. She spoke Zapotec de Isthmus, a coastal dialect of Zapotec. And she was a baker, and she loved baking bread, but you know, she also knew Jesus, and she loved sharing the bread of life. She loved talking about it with her family, her friends, her clients. If you look in the top right corner there, she had an audio Bible. And what she would do is she would play it every day for hours at a time. So as people came in and they'd buy her very delicious-looking bread there on the left, they would also hear about the bread of life. And they'd be like, what is this? This is in Zapotec. I've never heard something being played in my own language. What is this? And she would explain, this is talking about Jesus. And people would listen. And she has been just a shining light in her community. What a joy that she's taking what she's received, the bread of life, and she's sharing that with others. And another vivid picture we get was Jesus, who stood up after the tabernacle, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. He stood up after 7 days of a light show in the temple. He stood up at the crack of dawn and he says, I am the light of the world. He's the moral, the physical, the spiritual life and light that we need. One of the men I met in Mozambique on a trip there to visit our work in Mozambique, where we also record and distribute God's word, we met Lewis. And Lewis, his wife had been a patient with our compassionate care program, and she had received an audio Bible in her own language. And guess what? He took it. And so he would not let it go. He was listening to it. He was playing it. And over the course of about a year and a half, as he was listening, as we visited him and shared, and we eventually brought him his own so that his wife could also hear as she was going about her work and doing gathering the water and the wood for the fire and this and that, she had been telling him all these things. But as he heard God's word, his heart softened. He told us this. He said, I used to be awful to my wife. Just, do you see Jesus, the light of the world, breaking into a hardened heart? There was abuse. There's all sorts of bad things going on in this household. And he said, I used to be awful to my wife, but I've been listening to this audio Bible and I have changed. Now I see the devil was in our relationship, but now, not anymore. He said, now I let my wife go to the hospital when she needs to, among other things, apparently. God was changing. The light of the Lord was shining into his heart as he was hearing the word of the Lord. So exciting to see a life transformed, to see the light of Jesus breaking in and bringing a moral light, a clarity. I remember in Estonia, where I grew up with my family, we were serving as missionaries, and I remember there was one guy who told me, you always seem to know what to do, and he was like jealous of the clarity that I seemed to have, apparently. And I remember telling him, like, no, I still struggle so many times what to do, how to treat people. I said, but the difference is that I know the one who is the light, and he shines a light in my life. So if something is messed up, the light of Jesus will show that to me, and then I can change. Then I can ask him to change my heart. That is the hope of the gospel, the light of Jesus, that as it shines into our heart, we can invite others as well. Encounter the light of Jesus. Understand the light on your path that you need. After Jesus' declaration in John 8, he goes on to tell the story in John 9 of the man born blind. He is the one who brings light even to the person who has physical needs as well. The next picture we see, Jesus says, I am the door, the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they might have life and have it in abundance. One of the things that the Lord has placed on the heart of Chad and Dara in Mozambique has been a Farming with God program. It's a little bit of a different twist on what we do as Audio Scripture Ministries, but we want people to not only receive God's word, but have it be received in a way that they're listening, that there's openness in the community, that there's follow-up, that churches will be planted, that lives will be transformed. And one of the ways we've seen God work has been through this Farming with God program. There was a terrible, terrible cyclone this year, followed closely after by another. Over 1,000 people died in Mozambique, and over 500,000 people were left without homes, lost their place of business. In this area where Chad and Dara are, about 90% of the people are subsistence farmers. So basically, whatever they can grow in their little plot of land, that's what they eat. So when the cyclone came through and dumped, like, what was it, 3 feet of water in just a short period of days, their livelihood was ruined. Well, we had this Farming with God program. It's just celebrated the first year, and the idea was to take a look at God the Creator, the Sustainer, who gives us wisdom, who gives us knowledge and helps us. He is the gate. He is the one who is the pathway to a restored harvest, to restored hope in the community, both physically, where they don't have to think about their next meal, and spiritually. So we've seen it open incredible doors. One of the leaders at the kickoff event, which you see here pictured, one of the people in the community said, "This could transform our farming." And the community leader stood up and said, "This could transform our entire community." So we're so excited to see the open doors for God's word that this has brought in such a time of great need, where a lot of people are concerned about their next meal. So we've shared some of the food that the farm has given. We had a plot of land that was given to us, and it was basically a useless plot of land. Like, nothing can grow there. That was the verdict. So it was given, and then Chad, who has a great background in kind of a, what did he call it? A hobby farm out of control, is what he described his upbringing with his parents there in Overijssel. And he has all this context of using kind of low-tech, basic tools and introducing some things like crop rotation to make a significantly better harvest. The person there on the left is Salvador. He's the farm manager. Would you join in praying for Salvador? Already we're seeing God change hearts with people like Salvador. He was steeped in witchcraft and kind of an animistic tribal religions of the past, where he was very upfront about it. Like when they planted bananas, like, "We have to sacrifice to the ancestors in order for the banana plants to go well." Well, Chad very firmly said, "No, we can't do that. We don't do that here." And instead, he's been sharing the gospel, talking about what God does through us, how God is the creator and the sustainer of the world. He's given us a blueprint for how to do things, and it doesn't involve sacrificing to the ancestors. And so one Saturday, not too long ago, they were sitting on a termite mound and looking at all the things going on and the initial first fruits from this farm, and Salvador just said, "Look at this. God is really blessing us." It just kind of blew Chad away. He'd never heard him talk like this. You know, it wasn't this or that about the ancestors or what they were supposed to do. Instead, he's already seeing in this very tangible, hands-on way, as God is raising up a new harvest, we've called it New Harvest Farm, we're seeing a new harvest of spiritual fruit alongside the physical. So praise God for that opportunity. I am the door, the gate to abundant life. As we align our hearts with God, as we align our hearts with this way of life that Jesus presents to us, we can have transformation. Right now, we're praying about a really exciting opportunity in South Asia. We were approached recently by a partner from some time ago in a kind of a dangerous place in South Asia, and they have started ministering to a group that has been one of the most persecuted groups in the world, a Muslim group, and they have been bringing them lentils and cooking oil. The UN provides some rice, and they've been ministering to them. And they are so excited because God is already bringing some changed hearts through that one-on-one interaction. But all they have are print materials. And the UN estimates 85 to 90% of this people group do not read their own language, much less any other language. So an incredible opportunity for audio scriptures to go where the print materials cannot. You have all these people in one tight camp, about, I think, 850 to 900,000 people in one little camp. They're displaced. No one likes them, not even the Muslim government of the country they're now displaced in. And here we have believers who are reaching out to them. Jesus is opening the door for incredible ministry. We're praying that we'll be able to record this language and bring them God's word. It's already been translated. We're grateful for that. Now we're going to try to record it and bring it to them through this ministry that's already in place. God is opening up the doors for incredible things through this kind of integral mission where we're helping meet some physical needs while sharing God's word, whether it's medical or food. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. He knows his sheep, lays down his life for the sheep." We had this partner in Kenya who was digging wells, Genesis Water, based here out of Grand Rapids. And they do great work, and they're seeking to include audio Bibles with every well that they're doing. And one of the recipients of these audio Bibles through a partner in Kenya was this shepherd from Gabra. And he, 3 months later, when the partner came back to visit him, he wanted to show him. He was so excited. He's like, let me show you. He had been, as he was shepherding, he had been listening and meditating in God's word, and he had been memorizing it. Just incredible. We've seen this in India and in Kenya, in many other places, as people are working and they're listening to God's word. God is at work, and others will listen as well. So watch what the Lord has done in just 3 months with him. Here he is wanting to show what he's learned.
Yes, I feel.
He was so excited to show how God's word is being stored up in his heart. And we're excited to see, and we pray that this shepherd, like the good shepherd, would be one who brings in other sheep who are not of the fold yet. We know God has good plans. And each audio Bible, we rejoice to see how far it can go and what God does through it. I am so grateful for just this year alone, through your mission and faith promise, you've helped here at West End. You've helped placed 172 audio Bibles with families and individuals in a new way. They can now hear God's word in their own heart language in Mozambique and beyond. So thank you for that. And I'm excited in a couple more years to come back and say, here's what has happened. In Mexico, we often see one audio Bible, there'll be a listening group, and an entire church can form from just that one listening group. It's so exciting, as God's word does not come back void. This is the promise, as we read in John 5. Jesus said, "I assure you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." That's the gospel. You hear the word of the Lord, you believe him who sent the Lord Jesus. That is eternal life, knowing the Father and the Son whom he sent. Will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. So when we share God's word, we can be bold, we can be confident that it will bring a tremendous, tremendous harvest. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He said, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." Well, how can the believer obey the commands of the Lord if they believe, but then never hear what he has to teach them, or they hear it in another language that they don't understand very well? That's where we're seeing, as God's word goes forth boldly, people hear it, they're able to tell their families, they're able to follow the Lord with all their hearts. I'm so grateful for your focus on what the Lord is doing, both in this community and beyond. Just today, I was talking with someone from the congregation who said, "You know what? There's a lady I know who I think might need an audio Bible. I don't think she knows how to read or doesn't read very confidently, and I think it would be a blessing to her. We've seen that with visually impaired people or maybe someone you know who doesn't speak English particularly well. Find out what language they speak. Reach out to them and see if you can get them an audio Bible. See what God might do through that seed. There are also apps. We have a number of partners with tremendous apps, and we have access to resources in over 6,000 languages. So chances are, whatever language that is, we'll be able to get you something. So reach out to us. I have my card back there on the table. I would love to help you share that glimpse of the invisible God through his word, which never comes back void. Jesus said, "I am the true vine. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will, and the Father will give it to you." The true vine. So you picture this. Have you seen those roses that have like outlandishly beautiful colors, just bright, vivid colors? Those are usually made by putting the powerful substance, a dye, into the water. And then as the rose pulls up the water, pulls up that substance, it begins to take on new form, new color, new vivid imagery. In the same way, we are called to remain in him, let his words remain in us so that we can be that new creation. We can shine forth his light, his glory in our lives. Little Orlando there over on the left, he heard that he was going to have an audio Bible and be able to take one home to his mother. And he was literally dancing up and down the aisle for joy. He was so excited to hear it in his own language. He'd heard little bits and pieces, but he was so excited to bring one home. And then we have someone like Federico. Federico was an alcoholic for 30 years of his life. Then he heard the message of Jesus, turned away from his sin, and he has a huge scar to remind him of his past. But he said, "I will never leave the Lord." He was just grinning broadly when, for the first time, he got a Bible in his own language. He led his entire family to the Lord and has just been a light in the community. He's 80 years old now and receiving God's word in his own language for the first time. Can you imagine what faith, though, clinging to that which you know, clinging to the one who called you. Now he can hear and he can share in his own Mije language. So we rejoice for that. We just thank God for the opportunity to do that. He wanted to be a pastor, but he felt unworthy. He never learned to read or write. He felt unqualified. We're so grateful that God uses all of us. He can use all of us, no matter what. Are you able to read God's word? So many of us are blessed that way. So many of us have this incredible privilege of accessing God's word right now. And for me, I felt so challenged when I encountered believers like this, Federico, who for 50 years has never been able to open up a Bible and hear from God in his own language. But yet, he follows Jesus with all his heart. And now he's excited to be able to share. Instead of having to hear a translated version, he can hear it in his own language. So thank you for partnering with us, making that possible, making these kind of trips possible, making it possible to provide our national partners with God's word in an accessible way. Martin Luther said, "The life of Christianity is of personal pronouns. It consists of personal pronouns. It's one thing to say Christ is Savior. Even the devil can acknowledge who Jesus is. But it's another to say, he is my Savior, something the devil can never do," Luther said. Can you say, "My bread of life," like we sang before, "be thou my vision, Lord of my life, my light, the light of my heart, my door, my gate, my good shepherd, the way, the truth, and the life for me." I would encourage you today, as you think about mission emphasis, as you think about reaching out to those around you, perhaps with audio scriptures, perhaps with, "Hey, can I pray for you today? Is there anything I can pray for you today?" Think about two things. Think about giving people a glimpse of the invisible God through a picture of Jesus. Maybe one of these, maybe something else, the name of God. Say, "You know, God says he is the way, the truth, and the life. If you ever felt like you're lost or not sure where to go, let me encourage you. God has the way forward for you. Can we pray together? So share God's word and also share your personal testimony. Share how Jesus is the light of your world, how he is your bread of life, how it's more important for you to get that spiritual food than it is the physical, how you don't have to worry because he is your substance. He is what you need. And would you also pray for us that the Lord would continue to open the door in South Asia, in Mozambique, in other places? There are so many things that we want to do and that we have opportunities to do, and we're just waiting for the Lord to provide for them. We're waiting for the right doors to open. So let's pray right now and see what the Lord will do in the coming days, in the coming months, as we seek him and seek to share this glimpse of the amazing, invisible God revealed to us in Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are good. Thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in Jesus, that you have given us new hope and new life through the gospel. Help us point others to the bread of life as one beggar points another to bread. Help us to not only say you're the way, the truth, and the life, but to live in light of you being the way, the truth, and the life for us. Help us to make the most of every opportunity, as it says in Colossians, to make the most of the time. Help us to point others to you, that they would catch a glimpse and have a heart transformation that comes by your word. We thank you that you are faithful, you are doing it. Help us to join in. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.